I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
You are listening to Habs and Minded, brought to you by HabsEyesOnThePrize.com.
Hello and welcome to Habs and Minded. It's Patrick Bexell here, and I have an esteemed guest that hasn't been on the podcast for a while. It's Jared Book. So, Jared, are you really a guest?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Am I a guest? I host this show sometimes. I don't know if I'm a guest. I guess I am a guest because I don't show up very often, at least lately. So I'll take being a guest. But this is just two people talking about hockey, right? We don't need to have a guest.
You're supposed to be the expert today, though, because
I'm always the expert. You know, just go to the comment of the website.
No, but we are here to talk about the Rocket, a little bit of a review, a little bit about the prospects that are playing in the Rocket, and. Sort of grading them in a system where we have some disappointments, maybe. We have some question marks and we have some exclamation marks for you guys to listen to. And I think we're going to go in that order because it's always better to finish on a high. So let's start with the Rocket. They made the playoffs. It was some exciting games, but they didn't really carry through. Is this due to coaching or is it just the fact that all the injuries with players going up and down throughout the season didn't make the team match?
Yeah, I think, you know, to start the year, I mean, let's go back to the beginning of the year. It was essentially almost an entirely new roster, right? Like you had about five, you know, I think it was like 8 guys, you know, 8 to 10 guys who were part of that playoff run last year. And everyone else was pretty much new. And the issue with, I mean, that's not bad on its own, but the issue was to start the year, and we've seen this with the Canadiens and their long playoff run in 2021. What essentially happened is that all the veterans who were part of that playoff run got hurt to start the season. Alex Belzile got hurt. Brandon Gignac got hurt. Danick Martel got hurt. Those are, you know, three of the biggest names from that run. And then on defense, you know, they lost guys like Xavier Ouellette. They lost Louis Belpedio. And, you know, they brought in guys like Madison Bowie, Otto Leskinen, who didn't really take that role as well as maybe people expected them to before the season. So the start of their season was quite bad. And, you know, if you would have asked me at the beginning of the season if they would sneak into the playoffs, I would have been like, no, I don't think so. So just to get into the playoffs is a testament to the coaching and to the fact that, they did get better as the year went on, because yeah, they started really badly. And I don't know if that was necessarily anyone's fault, as opposed to just injuries and a big turnover. And it takes time for teams to gel a little bit. And I think that was the story of the season, is that, you know, they had injury, you know, talk about the Canadians having injuries, and they had tons, which didn't help the Rocket because those guys get called up. But then the Rocket themselves had a lot of injuries, and they had to rely on ECHL players for a long period of time in this season, and guys who had to play up in the lineup in roles that they weren't necessarily ideal. So I think that it's a mix of things. But no, I don't think there was a coaching issue. I don't think there was an issue with even the development of prospects. I think it was just, you know, one of the sayings that I've heard, and I don't know who said it, but when the NHL team has a fever, the AHL team has a cold, and I think that's, or maybe it's reverse, I don't know, but either way, that's the issue, is that, you know, you talk about
that's Canadians, what we say about the economy when US has a cold, the Europe has a fever, you know, so it's worse for Europe than it is for US.
Exactly, because, you know, the drop off from a guy from, you know, say a guy from like Jesse Ullinen, Raphael Harvey-Pinard, Alex Belzil, the drop off from them to guys like, you know, who would, you know, they have to rely on guys like, you know, Lucas Condotta in big roles, and you know those guys are not necessarily built for that kind of play, and you know, it's tough to Gabriel Bork, and you know, they're good AHL players, but when you move everybody up a line or two, it becomes difficult. And I think that was the story of the Rocket. And it was a good season, disappointing finish in the playoffs, but a good season overall, just from a purely developmental standpoint, because, you know, they graduated a lot of players to the Canadians, a lot of players. And none of them looked out of place, right? And that's what an AHL team's job is, and I think that's going in the right direction.
I have to give credit, because I actually did watch some of the games, or one of the games at least, from Laval, full credit to the crowd. It's a very different setting, but I think that is when you come to when you watch that, it's closer to European setting than an NHL arena is. I wish there was more chance. I love the fact that everyone goes, whoa, because whenever you enter the zone and gets ready to share. But, but you know, some chance, except for Go Rocket Go or what comes out, would be fun. But I really, really enjoyed listening into the crowd being that active and participating in that regard, rather than maybe sit there and clap every now and then, and it's a different kind of atmosphere than in Europe, where you have the big fan bases instead going on and on and on and trying to drag the rest of the crowd with them. So full credit to the crowd, really, really enjoyed it. Looking though, and I'm gonna toss out a name here, and I would say he's going downwards a little bit and been a little bit of a disappointment. It's tough though, because obviously when he makes a mistake, everyone for the opposing team cheers. There's spotlight on the puck in the net, and there is a siren going off, and et cetera, et cetera. But Caden Primo, and I'm reading this for my former employees, McKean's, because their prospect rankings came out the other day. And Primo has proved to be quite an enigma as a pro, something that has frustrated both the Canadiens fans and management. The former Mike Richter winner has flashes of being one of the top goaltending prospects on the planet. However, and this is what I always seem to think as well, is that his consistency has remained a major issue. In his fourth year as a pro, he may still be a quality NHL goaltender, but there are more promising prospects at the position that has unquestionably passed him by. And he goes from being 126th ranked prospect in NHL to an unranked prospect in McKean's. I don't agree with all the rankings, so I'm sure some people would not agree with this either. But I'd say that he's been in the organization for so long, and we still have to see that consistency, really. He has flashes of brilliance, though. I'm going to be able to say that as well.
Yeah, this was a tough year for Keaton Primo. This was the year he was expected to really take the reins, right? Mm-hmm. And be the number one goalie. And he ended up playing 41 games in the AHL. Some of that was because he was in the NHL for a bit. A lot of that was because he was hurt for upwards of almost 2 months, I think. And it was tough for him. But it's funny because he's consistently inconsistent. And what I mean by that is if you look at his AHL save percentage numbers over his career, it went 908, 909, 909, 909. He's had the same save percentage for the last three seasons, over upwards of 90 games, and it's funny because you look at that and you're like, oh, he's consistent. But what's inconsistent is from game to game, you don't know what Keaton Primo you're going to get. And look, the Montreal Canadiens. If you look at the Montreal Canadiens, they're a perfect example of what patience and goaltenders can do. Because look at Samuel Montabeau. He was a player who was in a similar situation to Primo, maybe not as highly touted coming out of junior, but he was in the AHL for a while, got some NHL looks, was not very good in them, went on waivers, gets claimed, and now he's the starting goalie for Canada at the World Championships.
Isha is the starting goalie for Denmark, so...
Yeah, but no, I mean, you know, if you look at the three goalies for Canada, though, there's Devon Levi and Joel Hofer, who are two pretty highly regarded prospects in their own right.
Yeah.
And I mean, look, Canada went to the World Champions 1 year, I think, with Darcy Kemper Curtis McElhinney as their two goalies. Like, it's not an indication that he's a top goaltender, but it just means that he's in a point of his career where he might be, finally reaching his peak. And goaltenders tend to reach that a little later. Look at, Alex Lyon in Florida. There's plenty of examples of goaltenders who...
I mean, let's just remember Montreal with Carey Price and Halak. And people were saying...
Yeah, Carey Price wasn't always Carey Price.
Yeah. So... But if we got to say whatever we say at this time of the year, after any year with Keaton Primo, really, he has a lot to show next year. And if there is going to be a next year, because there is a decision to be made, I think he will be in the A next year as well. It's you can't wait forever either.
Yeah, and he needs waivers to go down to the AHL this year as well, which is maybe something that leans the team into trading him, or because you don't want to lose him for nothing, right? Or he might be traded in preseason, right? Team needs a goaltender in the NHL, and instead of going through waivers, they make a trade. There's lots of things that can happen, or Montreal trades one of their other goaltenders and he gets an NHL job. So. But Primo played well in the playoffs, and the Rocket lost both games, but he, 912 save percentage in those two games. And the problem for the Rockets is that they didn't score any goals. that was a major problem for them in the playoffs. He allowed five goals in two games. You don't necessarily expect to lose both those games when your goaltender allows 2.5 goals a game, right?
Especially not the home game.
Right. I mean, that game was, I think, was 4-0, if I remember correctly. So, yeah, I mean, look, there was no goal support for him. So, was it a 936 that he had in last year's playoff run? No, but also it was two games, right? Yeah. And I think that, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. I still think there's a NHL player there. I think all the stuff about being, the next Carey Price, look, no one's going to be the next Carey Price. It's going to be very, very hard for somebody to be the next Carey Price. Can he be the next,1A to a 1B or a 1B to a 1A? Yeah, I think that there's enough there that there's an NHL player there. But at a certain point, you can't wait anymore. And that might be this offseason. That might be this preseason when they get to a point where they have to put him on waivers and another team takes a chance on him. Or maybe he'll get through waivers and teams won't And they will get an extra year of development. You know, he has a one-way contract this year. Teams might be scared of that a little bit for a guy who hasn't really proven himself at the NHL level. So there's a lot of variables at play, but I still think that Keaton Primeau is exactly the player we thought he was last year. You know, you would have liked to see him take that next step. He wasn't great all year. He was inconsistent. But at the same time, he was hurt, and you know, there's other variables at play. But yeah, at a certain point, absolutely, you need to start to see more consistency out of him.
The Jean-François defense Hull in front of him was inconsistent as well. There was
that's a pairing that was the same
as the last game.
Yeah, that's an issue as well. I mean, you know, both at the NHL level and the AHL level, the defense isn't great. Like, there's lots of depth there, but there's also lots of injuries. And I think that there's a lot of inexperience, especially at the AHL level. And I think that plays a factor as well.
Looking at others going downwards, though, and part of them are defensive prospects or defensive players, those have already gone away, really. I mean, we have two players signing in Europe already, and I think there will be another one or two when we see which players are leaving from Europe as draft prospects as well. So let's just go on to the question marks. There are, and you could have slotted in Keaton Primeau as a question mark still, though. But I feel that with the likes of, especially Dobish, you got cover now with goaltending, so he might not be that star prospect anymore. And as you mentioned, Montembeault has taken that 1B spot, really, or maybe even 1A spot.
The God of Mischief is back and better than ever.
Loki.
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 Loki. Wow. Great to see you again.
Critics agree Loki Season 2 is
marvelous.
Great. And it's finally here.
How much do you know?
Let's assume I don't know much.
A mind-bending adventure. Spectacularly cinematic.
I've been waiting for a moment like this.
It surpasses all expectations.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
Loki Season 2, now streaming only on Disney Plus.
My question marks in that roster, who do you have there, or which ones?
I think that the one that everyone's going to be talking about is Matthias Norlander, and I don't want to. His stock is very interesting because, you know, you mentioned the young players that are coming up, and you know there's a lot of young players who have already come up. You know, he's already been pretty much passed by Keaton Gooley and Jordan Harris and Arvid Jackey and all, you know, Jonathan Kovacevic in a way.
Maybe even Adam Engström in Sweden.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think Engström is a better prospect than Norlander ever was.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways as well. Right. So it's like comparing, you know, Juraj Slafkovský to Martin Rivaj.
Yeah.
Right. It's not exactly a comparable. Not to mention the fact that, obviously they come in from the same country, and that's about it.
Yeah.
But in terms of, the clock is definitely ticking on Norlander, right? Because time is running out, just because of the other bodies that are around. And he's gonna have to step up in a big way this year. And the reason why I don't put him in the, I haven't given up hope on Norlander, is because he's improved as years gone on, and he's improved in ways that don't really show up on the stat line. He's gotten penalty killing shifts in the AHL, and I don't think there was many people who thought that he would, be in that kind of role for, especially for a coach like Jean-François Hull, who really relies on his veterans. And I think that, you know, Norlander has kind of played a little bit conservatively, where he loses that kind of aspect that made him, you know, put him on highlight reels, that put him on the radar for a lot of Canadiens fans. And I think that nothing exemplifies that more than, you know, I mentioned before about ECHL players needing to come up and play in the AHL. He was on the second pairing for about 10 games with Eric Williams, who was a tryout from the ECHL. And they were paired up for most of that time, most of the 9 games that Williams played. And he just had to play. He had to be the responsible one on that line because Williams just, he didn't seem like he was, he was struggling a lot, especially, defensively. So Norlander had to cover for him. And then as soon as Williams, left and they started to get healthy again, Norlander started to put up points. He scored both his goals after that. He started putting up most of his points. And so I think this year is a big year for Norlander. Obviously, I think it's the last year of his entry-level contract. So, if he doesn't have success this year, the team can cut bait and he can go back to Sweden. And, there's a lot of to play at for him this season. And, yeah, I think that, like with Primo, the upside is obviously there. The hope is there. But at a certain point, you have to produce on the ice. And I think that timeline for Norlander is this year. If he doesn't produce this year, his time with the Canadiens is probably going to be up.
You're speaking about Hull a little bit. And is he the right coach to get Norlander to facilitate that offense that we saw a lot of in Sweden at maybe even the lower level because we didn't really see that much in front of him?
I think that for Norlander specifically, a lot of it is confidence. And I think that when he's confident, you can tell. And when he's not confident, you can also tell. And I think that having a coach, he didn't get benched at all, right? He was out a couple of games of injuries and he never was really benched. And I think that that's a way to kind of delve into like, listen, you're going to be okay. Don't worry about making mistakes. And so I think Hull is... he maybe not be the best coach for that kind of offensive defender, but he might have to learn because he's going to get a lot of guys from junior in the AHL who are going to play that role. So I think for Norlander, it's a lot more mental, regardless of who's coaching him. I think he has the rope. I don't think Hull is like, don't move the puck, don't skate it up, don't make these plays, because he did do that at times in the AHL this year. To start the year, I thought he was one of the best defenders on the Rocket. He was really, really good. And then he just kind of started struggling a bit, maybe because the pucks weren't going in. When you're used to being an offensive player and you don't see those points on the stat sheet, anybody would lose a little bit of confidence. So no, I don't think Hull is a problem in that regard. Another question mark I have is Jan Mišák.
Yeah.
A player who was playing really his first full pro year. I don't really count the COVID year because he was still 18 at the time. He was still really young.
He didn't play pro in Czechia.
But so he did. Did he? I don't know. Yeah. Did he? Because he came to junior pretty quickly. I'm sure there was some pro years, but maybe not a full year. I could be technically correct, Pat. But his first North American pro year, and kind of didn't really take that step. He was fourth line most of the year, scratched a lot. He got hurt as well. Again, clock is ticking, but he still has a lot more time on that clock. He was playing center a lot. And I think that that's something that you mentioned that, he might end up being a wing.
I mentioned it on the draft day, more or less, not to shout out because I've been wrong a lot of times. I'm probably wrong more times than I'm right. But some very good friends in Czech Republic or Czechia, as we were supposed to say, told me stuff about Mišák that they had seen in his game. I think he doesn't have the creativity. And then sometimes when he's on the wing, he lacks a little bit, like you mentioned with Norlander, the confidence, because he's not used to play there. He used to be the center wheel. And then he puts pucks on net where he probably should pass and the other way around. So I think it's a confidence issue there as well that comes down to it. But Mišák, a player that I really, really like, a player that I think is fantastic. And let's be honest here, when you look at all these three we mentioned already, in a way, if they don't work out in the AHL, they could have fantastic careers in Europe.
Well, absolutely. And Meshach is still really young. I think this year with the Rocket, it will really help him. Because instead of playing with like fourth line players, that fourth line for the Rocket is going to be like all young guys, right? Like they don't have really enough room for all the young guys that are coming in. The guys like, you know, Joshua Waugh potentially, Sean Farrell potentially, if they're not in the NHL.
Riley Leo Kinney. Carlson probably.
Even if they get him, I don't know if he'll go to the AHL. And if he does, he probably won't be in the bottom six either. but I think for Meshach, and it's funny because he's close to Norlander, and then Dobish came and he finally had another Czech player to talk to.
I was going to say that with Norlander as well. Heinemann came in, and they got a little bit more. Like you need to work it out outside the ice as well. I remember Vedemo going back to school or going back to university for having stuff to do outside the hockey.
Yeah, I think he brought his partner over at one point as well, right? And that was a big thing for him as well. Yeah, I mean, look, there's a lot of off time, right? If you're just sitting in your apartment by yourself, that's not a good thing. Or if you're not used to the culture and, you know, things like that. So having somebody and the Canadians are going to have a lot, the Rocket are going to have a lot of young players. And I think that makes a difference, right? When you have a lot of young players, they tend to hang out together. Just look at the Canadians, right? A lot of those young players, you know, you see together off the ice, they always take pictures together and stuff like that. So yeah, it definitely helps. And having somebody from your country that you can like, you have that kind of, even though they haven't really crossed paths, right? You know, Dobish was in the United States for a long time. Meshach was in Canada for a long time. You still have that shared background. You know, Heinemann and Norlander, they never played together in Sweden, but they have that shared experience.
And you have the same culture in a way. Yeah, like
exactly.
And I would assume Heinemann and Norlander both likes to fish. No. so I think they always have that to talk about as well. And maybe they should, you know, invest in a fishing boat or something or a cabin.
I don't know how much fishing there is in Laval. There's a lot of water, but I don't know how much fishing there is.
Yeah, or a cabin somewhere else and just have a drive up and be there for a night or two and do a little bit what they did back home in Sweden.
Yeah, and so with Meshach, I think that there's still time. And I think that a season without injuries, like the common denominator for Primo, Norlander, Meshach, injuries, right? And getting a full season will be very, very important for all of them because that's how you get your confidence, right? Is being in a lineup and having consistent playing time, consistent line mates and just going. And I think that, you know, people might have expected more from him, but at the same time, I think there's a good player there. He might not be that top six scorer at the NHL level or even EHL level, but I think Vedemo is an interesting comparable to him because I think that he has more skill offensively, maybe not as defensive minded, but he's getting there. And you see his role that he played with Czechia at the World Juniors, where he was basically their go-to guy for almost everything.
Yeah, but they lacked a couple of good guys in that as well.
Yes, absolutely. He needs help. He can't do it himself. And I think putting him with a couple of scorers might help him. And getting a full offseason and getting ready for next season, it'll be an important year for him as well because, you know, like with Norlander, there's a lot of young forwards in this organization. And they could afford to lose some players, even if they were second round picks. If you get passed on the depth chart, you get passed on the depth chart. And that's the good thing about where the Canadians are is that they don't need all these players to hit. They just need some of them to hit. And unfortunately, that's bad news for some the players who maybe take a little bit longer to develop because you're gonna get passed pretty quickly.
And Meshach was drafted out of Europe, so he has 2 years more before they have to make a decision as well, which I think is equally important to remember. And those 4 years that you have to evaluate someone, and I think Meshach will benefit from that. Also, had a really good connection with Jesse Ilonen, and seems like the Europeans sticking together a little bit, and that's always good. It's also a shame that all the question marks are European.
No, Primo was kind of a question mark.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is that most of the prospects are European. You can talk about some of the other guys, but I mean, they're not really question marks. They're either, the most of the guys, especially from a Canadian's perspective, not on AHL contracts, they are European. But you know, I put them in the question mark category because I want to talk about them. I like them. That's why they're in the question mark.
Do you want to have add another, or do you want to go directly to
no? The next level? We can go to the good news.
We can go to the good news. Yeah. So feel free to do some of the high risers in this year, because let's focus on it as a year and not a whole progress from development.
Yeah, I think that, you know, you could talk about a lot of players who stepped up. Anthony Richard, but he's not really development. He had a tremendous year. I'm going to go a little bit off the board with my first choice and pick Pierre Dubé. He's on an AHL contract. He was not expected to do much. He ended up the season with 16 goals, 16 assists in 44 games, and scored a lot of really, really big goals for the Rocket, especially down the stretch. I would be surprised if he does not get an NHL contract, to be completely honest. And the reason I say that is because he's only 22 years old. He played junior. His last year junior, he played with guys like Maverick Bourque and Xavier Bourgault, you know, like really players who are still seen as real prospects. And he's still a prospect, you know? And I think that's the first real win of this ECHL development. He gets an ECHL deal. He gets an AHL deal. And he might get an NHL deal. Exactly. And I think that he's a player that's really stepped up. But from a Canadian's prospects point of view, William Trudeau exceeded all expectations. He was coming off of a really good playoff run with Charlottetown in the QMJHL. And, you know, there were questions about whether he would be going back to junior at the beginning of the year, whether he'd be going to Trois-Rivières in the ECHL. And he was with the Rocket all year, played 60 games, and really developed into a guy who was on their top pairing and top power play for a lot of time. And a lot of that is bad news because, you know, he's not necessarily the guy you want to run your power play. And that's a reason why the Rocket struggled a little bit on the power play. But he was good. He was fine. Was he the ideal person to play on that in that role? Maybe not, but nobody expected him to be in that role in his first actual pro year for him. And I think that, you know, he's really raised his profile. We talked about the lots of defense on the Rocket, and he really put his name on that list, you know, to the point where, you know, people are talking about him maybe being a call-up at the end of the year as well. So to the NHL. So, yeah, I think that he had a really, really good year. And, you know, guys like Xavier Simino as well, he kind of slowed down a little bit from the start he had. 6 goals, 62 games, but 32 assists, and really showed what he can do at the AHL level. He got his NHL contract, similar to the path that Raphael Harvey-Pinard took as well. And I think that there's it's going to be very interesting to see him this season. You know, Joel Teasdale had 23 goals for the Rocket. There's a lot of good young players in Laval. But you know, people are going to be like, oh, there's not really top prospects. And there weren't. That's true. But when you see guys like Ullinen and Raphael Harvey-Pinard and Justin Barron and how they were able to make the jump to the NHL this year, that's what you want from your AHL team. The guys like Juraj Slafkovský or, you know, the top prospects, Nick Suzuki, Cole Caulfield, they're not going to necessarily spend much time in the AHL, if any, in Suzuki's case, and possibly Slafkovský's case as well. But the thing that you want to see is can you develop NHL players? And the answer for the Rocket this year is a resounding yes. the Canadians would have been even more lost than they were without guys like Harvey Pinard and Ullinen stepping up into key roles. Alex Belzile, Anthony Richard played well. Justin Barron, another player who's at the World Championships right now. So it's going to be interesting to see who gets that chance next year in the NHL. And whoever doesn't will be back with the Rocket and make them even stronger. So I think it was a good year overall for the Rocket. You would have liked to maybe see a little bit more group success. You would have probably liked to see the veterans step up a little bit more if they weren't hurt. But at the same time, I think it was a successful year. And now the things get really interesting. When they're going to have Jaden Struble for a full year. Emil Hyman, I didn't even mention him. He had a great year for the Rocket. I think there was a question mark for how much he would score. When you look at his numbers in Sweden, they weren't exactly the most. Well, a shooting
percentage of over 18 probably helps a little bit as well.
Of course, he's not going to score a goal a game. He had, 7 goals in 11 games or something ridiculous like that? 7 goals in 11 games.
He's not going to play someone to succeed. That's what you get as well. Let's
right. Go. And look, there's a lot of guys, a lot of his goals were just, right place, right time, being on, he has a great shot. And when you have a great shot, you're going to shoot over the average in terms of percentage. Will he be a, 40, 50 goal scorer in the AHL? Probably not. he's going to slow down eventually, his pace. But I think that what he showed that he can play the game at the North American style quicker than I think many expected him to. When he came over, I don't think many expected him to be that kind of, offensive threat right away. And he was. And I think that it's going to be very interesting to see him for a full season. Same thing with Jaden Struble. You're going to have, Logan Mailloux, Riley Kidney, Philip Meschar is probably going to be back in Laval next year after a year in junior. I think that there's going to be, Joshua Roy, Sean Farrell, you don't really know where they're going to end up in terms of whether they're going to be in the NHL or in the AHL, depending on what happens with a lot of the NHL roster as well. It's going to be very interesting, but now you're going to start to see the prospects. You talked about Dobish before. The next year's Rocket is going to be majority NHL prospects and in some ways top NHL prospects, guys who are expected to produce at the next level, high draft picks. And I think that that's going to be very interesting to see how they make that work and how successful they are. And I think that it's going to be very fun to watch the Rocket next year, regardless of who ends up there. Even on defense, we look at guys like Harris and Kovacevic and Gouley and those guys, there might not be room for all of them either, right? Barron as well. So, there might be some guys who maybe they might not deserve to be sent down, but might have to just because of roster space, especially on defense, depending again on, whether David Savard is back, whether Joel Edmondson is back, whether, a lot of guys are back, whether there's injuries. There's a lot of questions there, right? So, but I think that all in all, it was a successful year for the Rocket, and the best is yet to come from this group because they're going to start to get a lot of good prospects. And don't lose sight. You mentioned the crowd before, Patrick. The AHL All-Star Game was in Laval this year. A lot of people noticed Laval for the first time. I'm talking about AHL veterans, top AHL players. And don't lose sight of that because a lot of them went back to their teams and said, wow, Laval was great. And I think that that's a very good recruiting tool when you have, things like that happen. The East is pretty much known about how good Laval can get as a crowd, how good the facilities are. But I think the whole AHL saw it this past year. And don't lose sight of that. If you hear a couple of big names or a couple of, veterans who get signed to deals by the Canadians, similar to Anthony Richard last year, similar to Mitchell Stevens, they'll be on the lookout for guys like that signing with the Canadians this year as well, because there's opportunity and are on a rebuilding team. And there's also no better place in the AHL to play than Laval. It's a long way from Hamilton. It's a long way from, you know, some of the places that you can end up in the AHL. And Laval really put itself on the map this year.
You mentioned the success of developing players via the Lions, Rocket, and then to the Habs. The one thing that in my opinion, always hinders the Habs' development or Habs' progress overall in terms of success is that you don't have the same sort of development path for coaches. When can we expect to see some coach from the Lions coming into Laval and maybe down the line come into the NHL? Because we see it, it's already started with this offseason. It's a merry-go-round with the same names all over the place again.
Yeah, I think it's tough because I think that what the Canadians should be doing is maybe more investing in coaching at lower levels like the QMJHL and things like that, because it's, you know, the Lions right now, they don't have a coach. he went from the ECHL to the QMJHL. You know, Jean-François Houle, I don't see him as really a coaching prospect. I think he's very good in development. I don't see him necessarily as a future NHL coach necessarily. But you know, who knows? You know, he can be an assistant in the NHL level for sure. So I think that there is work to be done there. But I think a lot of it is going to be more develop the pool of coaches. If you're only going to hire French Canadian coaches or coaches that speak French, and there's a good reason for that. I'm not saying they shouldn't. The talent is there. You have to find it and develop it before you just throw them into the NHL. And I think that that was something that was missing a lot. If you look back, especially in the, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, you know, coaches like Alain Vigneault, Claude Julien, Michel Therrien all got their first NHL coaching jobs really quickly in Montreal, weren't very successful for the most part in Montreal. All of them went to the Stanley Cup final with other teams afterwards, right? So the coaching talent was there. But the development maybe wasn't. And I think that if you develop that into a real three-step approach, and Julien coached in the AHL, you know, he's probably the better example. Therrien coached in the AHL as well. A lot of those guys did coach professionally before coming to the NHL. But you look at what they did with, like, say, a guy like Alex Burrows, and, you know, putting him in as an NHL assistant. I don't necessarily know if he's an NHL head coach, but, you know, if you ask me, you know, 18 months ago, I probably would have said Martin St. Louis wasn't an NHL head coach either, right? So, no, I think it's definitely important. And I think that they are putting a lot more, you know, resources into the QMJHL and developing coaches. And I think that, you know, other teams are hiring French Canadians too, right? Like, it's, you know, Benoit Grue in Syracuse, Andre Tourigny in Arizona. You know, they're being hired, right? So I think that there's a base of talent there, and I think that, you know, yeah, it's a good point. I just don't think right now the AHL has those kind of guys that can take the next step. But, you know, who knows? Coaching is a little bit of a roller coaster, and you go up and you go down, and you know, a few years ago, you know, we were talking about how Joël Bouchard and Dominique Ducharme were up-and-coming coaches, and now they're both unemployed. So, as coaches, anyway. So, you know, it's things change quickly in coaching and hockey. But, yeah, I think it's definitely a tool to be used. But I still think the more attractive jobs for these coaches is at the junior level rather than in the ECHL or the AHL. But you can definitely start developing coaches early on and trying to find which ones are the best ones.
You've been listening to Absent Minded with me, Patrick Bexel, but especially today, without interruptions, Jared Book.
We'll see the repercussions when the download numbers listens come go way down when they hear my voice a lot.
Thank you guys for listening, and especially thank you guys for staying with us through these last couple of months when a lot of things has happened with the Eyes on the Prize. Are we going to keep giving you that content that the best fan base in the world deserves?
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.